This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. It is just after 5 o'clock, which means we are 27 minutes away from our Take Command Tape Tuesday. And we are right now ready for a Tischler Tuesday.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Mitchell, how are we doing, my friend?
We are doing fantastic on this Tuesday. How are you?
I'm doing well. The vibes are good. It was so funny. You know, yesterday we took calls in our Tell the Truth Monday. We just took an hour of calls here on a Tuesday. And yesterday we had people calling and apologizing for what they said about Adam Peters and some of the moves made in the offseason. And then we just took, 10, 11 calls over the last hour, and 90% of them were, I was super encouraged. And the one that wasn't was, I'm kind of encouraged. Nobody discouraged. Does everyone realize that they lost? Not saying that I actually disagree. It's just, do you ever thought you'd see the day that the Washington fan base would be this ecstatic with kind of how things are going, that a 30-23 loss to the Ravens is like, no, we're good.
I am so proud of the fan base for recognizing that. It's been great to see this kind of turn amongst the fans and not needing to win every single game and pounding the table for losses and wanting to fire people. And I think you see that turn in the Commanders locker room, because post game the guys were kind of angry. They thought they had a chance to win and they didn't. And in years past we would have seen a team that was just happy to compete, and you know, they would have been in the locker room and they're like, hey, you know, we were pretty close with them, and you know, things that we lost or whatever. So I think, you know, this culture change that this team has been trying to do for the last 5 years or whatever, 6 years, I think, is finally taking place, and you're starting to see it amongst the fan base too. It's incredible to watch.
Mitch Tischler, of course, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with JP Finley, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I know you and JP did a quasi-emergency episode yesterday in response to the John Allen news, and I thought you guys had some good stuff to say on it. So let's go through a little bit of where we go now with this Commanders D-line. Of course, Allen out for the year with the torn pec, as I think everybody listening knows, that news out yesterday. Where does Washington go to replace Allen? What of what he provides can they replace, and what takes a hit no matter who replaces him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, John Allen's athleticism is relatively unmatched, particularly amongst this front four that the Commanders have and this group that they have on the D-line. And you're not going to be able to replace that immediately. But I do think one place that they might be a little bit better in is potentially against the run between the tackles. I like Fedarian Mathis's big body. I like that he kind of eats up blocks. He'll allow guys like Frankie Luvu, Bobby Wagner to flow a little bit more, I think. I guess we'll see it, you know, as we get through these games. The Tuba Hubbard and this Panthers run attack has been pretty good the past couple weeks. But at the end of the day, you're not going to replace John Allen. And ultimately, I think the biggest place that's going to take a hit is just going to be the reps, the amount of snaps that Daron Payne, Johnny Duden, Fedarian Mathis are going to have to take. And I think they're going to look to probably try and bring somebody in. Certainly, Sheldon Day has a lot of experience, played last year in Cleveland, has been up and down on the active roster, I think he'll get the immediate call-up. But this D-line across the board is pretty beat up. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong got hurt. He's having some imaging this week, which is, you know, never a great thing. Javonte John-Baptiste hurt his ankle. You know, obviously the John Allen news, Cleveland Farrell's coming back after missing a couple weeks. I mean, this is a group that's going to be tested now, because you're going to have a lot of young guys who are going to have to step up and play right away. And quite frankly, as much as I'm excited about seeing Fedarian on the field a little more for some of the run stuff, I want to see what Johnny Newton has. I mean, he dominated last year in college. He's obviously had a couple injuries coming up here. I think that he's going to be an interesting step in for John Allen, and talk about getting thrown into the fire. Here we go.
No, it's such a good point. And, you know, the thing is, Newton and Mathis, kind of where their strengths are completely different. And John Allen is almost dead in the middle of the two of them. Phil's ability to just stand up a blocker, chin a guard, just stop movement and be in the way is great, because you need that. You know, there's been a couple of games this year where the yards before contact numbers are pretty high for Washington, where running backs are getting 2, 3, 4 yards down the field before anybody gets a hand on them. And a guy like Big Phil can help stop that. But there's also some plays that you see it on Sunday before John goes out, that balls get into the perimeter and John Allen's able to stalk it down. That kind of mobility is not something Fedarian Mathis has. It is what Johnny Newton has, but he's one of the guys who's getting knocked back 4 or 5 yards. So I'm very curious to see what the rotation looks like and who they match with, because I think part of what's worked for them, to the extent that anything's worked, is the Newton-Mathis combo thus is good. You have one of the big guys and one of the smaller guys, and that's been able to work. Now, how do each of those guys pair with Payne? And then whoever's not with Deron, like, what do you match with that? And whether that's Ndubuisi, their international pathway player guy who gets called up, whether it's Day, whether it's someone they bring in, I'm curious kind of how they try to fill all of the gaps, because the two pairings they had, I thought, were very well matched.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And on top of it, we're seeing a lot of Deron Payne, John Allen, and Johnny Newton on the field at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They get F.A. Obata back, who's more of a defensive end, but has certainly played on the inside some. And in obvious, you know, running downs, you'll see F.A. on the edge there. It's going to be interesting to see what these guys do. But you know what? I mean, these second-round picks, you know, Johnny Newton, we haven't seen enough from. It's been, you know, 6 games. But Fedarian, you know, we're a couple of years into this thing and haven't seen a whole lot from Big Phil. So I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, potentially the run defense might improve a little bit, at least, you know, between the guards right up the middle. Because like you said, Big Phil really can cause some chaos there. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there.
Mitch Schischler with us, of course, Beltway Football Podcast here on the Team 980. So, to me, Mitch, when you look at the defense on Sunday and what happened against Baltimore, a lot of the consternation is directed towards Benjamin St. Juice in the secondary, and there's some issues all around the secondary. I don't even know that St. Juice was the worst corner that they had on Sunday, but I'm not here to, for a third straight day, defend the honor of Benjamin St. Juice. The biggest problem, I think, was the pass rush. There's just not a lot of pressure. How much of that do you think is a long-term problem, and how much of that was a Baltimore is very well equipped to not allow pressure problem?
I think that was by design almost. They haven't gotten a lot of pressure this year, period, so it's hard to really stand up here and say by design, but I think they really wanted to try and keep Lamar in the pocket, and by keeping him in the pocket, you can't have guys rushing up, you know, around the outside of the tackles. You're kind of trying to hem him in while also getting pressure, you know. With the John Allen injury, like, we know what kind of player John can be, and we've certainly seen it over the, you know, 6 years that he's been here, but he hasn't had a great season, you know, and I don't want to, you know, kick a guy when he's down, but I don't know that the pass rush is going to, you know, be hurt that much by John Allen not being there, because neither he or Deron have particularly done a good job of getting to the quarterback, you know, at least since week one when Deron had the 5 pressures, I believe. But I think that, you know, the Dorrance injury, the Cleveland Farrell coming back, Dante Fowler's done a good job the past couple of weeks of getting there. I think when you look at this as a whole, this isn't a group that you expect is going to have, you know, multi-double-digit sack players on it. So it's going to be a war of attrition here. And as we talk about all these injuries, you know, Jamin Davis is sitting there, you know, being inactive the past couple weeks, I think that, you know, if these injuries are what we think they are, Jamin might have an opportunity to play, and maybe his speed can get around the edge and surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly should be back on the field with what they're going to need, assuming that either Jean-Baptiste or Armstrong is out, but we'll see. Hopefully they're not. I mean, the thing is, I think about Armstrong and Allen both, they were starting to really come on the last couple weeks. I thought they played significantly better, and so to see them both go out in this Baltimore game hurts. I also just, you know, the Baltimore game highlights, I think, where Allen might be missed moving forward is Baltimore, because Patrick Ricard is such a unique piece and he can block a defensive end on his own. There's some of these play action shots and some of these longer developing plays where they're able to double team Allen and Payne and trust Ricard on an edge and, you know, chip help on, let's say, on the other edge. And most teams can't do that. They don't have a fullback who can block a defensive end. And now if you don't have to double, or if you don't have to double not Daron Payne, right, whether that's Newton or Phil, that becomes a lot easier to pass protect. And so this is where I think Johnny Newton has a huge chance to be impactful is, hey, Daron Payne's going to get double teamed. He's definitely the best player on that line right now. So if you get the one-on-ones, like you gotta handle your business. Otherwise, this secondary is going to be left out to dry, and you're going to see a lot more big explosive plays like you saw on Sunday. That's I think, where you miss Allen is he's still respected. And part of the reason his sack numbers I don't think are as good is because he does get a lot of attention still.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's going to be, teams are going to shade towards Daron Payne. But they're also got to keep in mind, Dante Fowler had a huge game against the Ravens. I mean, he had two sacks, definitely, a couple quarterback hits. He had a couple TFLs. I mean, he had a really nice game. And his speed is something that most defensive ends don't have. And especially when you get against the right tackle, you know, he can really take advantage of it. So Joe Witt's going to have an interesting, decision or plan to come up with. How do you get a pass rush with, you know, two or three guys that you know other teams are going to key on? And that, like you said, with Johnny Newton, he's going to have an opportunity because he's going to be one on one with a guard pretty much every pass rush. And if he's able to get some pressure and, you know, muck up a little bit of the inside of that game, that could be a game changer for how teams have to defend the defensive line.
Yeah, for sure. I do. I don't disagree with you that Dante Fowler had a really good game. And obviously one of his sacks was just a monster move. The other sack, he did get pancaked on the play, which is, I don't know how many times in NFL history a player has been pancaked and gotten a sack on the same play, but he got pancaked. Lamar ran around long enough for him to get up and then he finished the sack, which, great tenacity. Like, it's ultimately a compliment to the competitiveness and the finish. But I did kind of chuckle watching that one back on tape, Mitch, because I was like, there can't be many times that's happened.
No, I mean, it is kind of funny that's how it came about. But, you know, we talked last week a little bit about kind of the skill position players on offense and how they were blocking in the run game all the way down the field. I think plays like that are the ones, you know, and then this the Dante Fowler sack, you're seeing what Dan Quinn wants out of these guys. You're seeing him, you know, his influence on their, you know, play on the field. And like you said, the tenacity and the get after net, not quitting. I mean, those are the things that you love to see, because you look at this game and, you know, against the Ravens, the defense didn't stop them. They had no running game without Brian Robinson. The offensive line had, you know, a tough day with the Ravens knowing they could just pin back their ears and get after him. You had Jaden against the world, and you were within a one-score game for, you know, the majority of that game, which is super impressive. And I think why you see, you know, fans and folks excited about what's happening here in Washington.
Yeah, no doubt about it. For whatever it's worth, on the year, Dorrance Armstrong, according to PFF, has their best pass rush grade, 20.6 win rate. Fowler, 11.4. Next highest is Furrell at 6.0. This doesn't count Luvu. This is just their edge players. So definitely going to be a big loss if Armstrong is out, and Fowler certainly one of the guys that's going to have to step up there. All right. Speaking of the offense, Mitch Tischler with us here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
What did you learn about Jaden Daniels, if anything, on Sunday?
I love this. This is the first time that we saw him since the Bucks game have to play from behind and try and catch up. And I just loved his demeanor on the field and the way he went about it. He wasn't back there trying to get 13 points with one throw and, you know, taking unnecessary chances down the field. He stayed calm, cool, collected in the pocket. He made good throws. He made reads. You know, the touchdown pass to Terry in the corner of the end zone on fourth down was just awesome. It's every week he impresses me more and more, and every time he gets put in a new situation that could be perceived as high pressure or difficult, he just slides right through and doesn't blink. And I think that just says so much about his maturity and, you know, where he is with his confidence and with his offense and with his team. And I think you see it permeate, you know, all layers of his team. You see everybody kind of, you know, being cool and staying and keeping their heads together. And that's an important thing, especially when you're playing, you know, big time games like they did last week against the Ravens.
For sure. And the fact that he's able to do it without a run game is pretty damn impressive against a Baltimore team that is very, very good. How much of that lack of a run game did you think was either execution by Washington or lack of commitment by the play caller in Cliff, or just Baltimore being one of the better run stopping teams in the league?
Yeah, I think it's Baltimore is one of the better run-stopping teams, you know, in the league. And I think early on, you know, when you're getting 1-2 yards a carry, it's tough to kind of continue pressing that when on the other side of the field, the Ravens are, you know, going up and down the field and scoring. Early in the game, I thought, you know, despite the offense sputtering, I thought they stayed solid and didn't try and, you know, change their identity to match what they were playing against. And as the game went on, you know, you ended up in a situation in the third, fourth quarter where you're kind of going up and down the field trying to keep up with them. So you're going to get into a pass-heavy script. But, you know, Austin Ekeler averaged, what, 2 yards a carry or so. And even Jaden, I think, you know, was under five for the first time. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't get the ball moving on the ground at all. And at the end of the day, they ended up, you know, having to throw the ball at least it was 35 times and not 50 times like last year. With Eric Bieniemy. But, you know, what I liked was Noah Brown finding ways to get open. And when he wasn't open, he made some really nice catches. Zach Ertz is always finding soft spots of zones. I mean, you're just seeing this team. We're getting to learn about these players and we're getting to learn about, you know, kind of the offensive scheme and how Cliff is kind of getting these guys open against different looks.
For sure. Ertz, by the way, over 4 yards per separation or of separation per route targeted. Terry was 1.64, and both of them had great games in their own way, which just shows you a quarterback that trusts their guy or his guys and knows when to hit them. All right, last question for you, Mitch. And this one, admittedly, may be a little sports talk radio-y, but hey, we are a sports talk radio show.
Oh, boy.
So here's my question. But I actually don't think it's terrible. Otherwise I wouldn't ask it. Sometimes I will ask it as I laugh through the question. This is a somewhat serious one. Is this weekend's game against Carolina actually more important in terms of what we think about this team moving forward than the Baltimore game?
It's funny you say that. I in our post-game live show, I talked about this on our pod today with John Allen. I talked about it a little bit. We've seen burgundy and gold teams over the years, you know, maneuver the bed, if you will, when in situations like this, after playing a good team, come back home, expected to win, and just, you know, don't come out and play hard. And I think, you know, we talked about the sack from Dante Fowler and, you know, that effort play. I think that's what Dan Quinn has instilled in these guys. I don't think they're going to show up and not be ready to go against the Panthers team that is much better offensively since they made the change at quarterback. But I think that, you know, if you wanted to call last week a litmus test for, you know, where this team was, fine. I think this week might be even more of it, because you've got to know where you stand, and good teams put their foot on the throat of bad teams early on in games, put them away, don't give them a hope, and that's something that I expect Washington's going to do on Sunday. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere, 4 o'clock game, all the Darryl Green festivities. It's going to be great, and I expect Jaden to come out and have a big-time game against a defense that hasn't really proven to be able to stop anybody lately.
I totally agree with you. I actually don't think I would have asked the question if I didn't at least partially, if not wholeheartedly, think that it's true, which is to say that if they go out and lay an egg, like, okay, why? Did they get a little too cocky? Did they start believing their own hype? Because, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. This is such a media nerd thing, but, like, Ian and Charles are calling this game. Like, that's the number two CBS crew, and it ain't because the Panthers are here. And then you got Nance and Romo again, and now this 425 game probably in 2 weeks. And it tells you kind of what the national media feels about it, and the decision makers at the networks feel about it, that Jaden and this team are so box office that they're like, we got to send our best. We got to make sure we get eyeballs on this thing. And so if you go out against Carolina with all the eyeballs and you're a 7.5-point favorite, like all that kind of stuff, and you don't play up to your level, that tells me there's a little bit of a crack that not, and even if that happens, Mitch, I don't think they can't fix it, which is also, I think, speaks very well to this team, but I don't think it's going to happen in the first place. And the fact that we who have covered this football team for a long time in this town and seen a lot of teams that were like, oh, here comes the fall. The fact that we don't see it, I think, is probably a good thing moving forward, or fodder for Cold Takes Exposed next week.
Exactly. Exactly. I think this is, I agree with you that if they don't play well, it is fixable. But at the same time, I will be very disappointed in, you know, the prep and the coaching staff and the players, and would probably change my outlook on what I think of the season if they do come out and lay an egg. I think that, you know, it's important to assert your dominance when you can, and this is an opportunity for Jaden and this Commanders team to do so.
No doubt. And, you know, what you can't fix is the L. And they've built themselves a nice cushion here in the standings, and this is an opportunity to add one to the win column, and you don't get those back even if you can learn the lessons, if you will, after. For more lessons, including that if you finish a podcast, you get a beer, listen to the Beltway Football Show. Let Beltway Football Podcast, search for it with, of course, Mitch and JP Finley, anywhere you get your pods, and the Monumental Sports app. Mitchell, always a pleasure, sir. See you on Sunday, and talk to you back on the radio here next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, it's Mitch Tischler, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Coming up next, Take Command, Tape Tuesday. How did Jaden Daniels play through the lens of Logan Paulson? The answer next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.